Jill lives in Huntersville. She drives an old, dilapidated car with lots of defects. As a result of that, her car is constantly breaking down. And when it does, she calls her friend John to come pick her up and tow the car wherever it needs to be towed. And John keeps begging her to get rid of this old junk heap. But she seems sentimentally attached and won't let it go. Well, last week it happened again. The car broke down and she called John. And John asked, "Jill, what happened this time?" She said, "Well, my brakes went out. Would you please come and get me?" And John said, "Well, where are you?" And Jill answered, "Well, I'm at the drugstore." And John said, "Well, where's the car?" Jill said, "Oh, it's here in the drugstore with me." Shall I try that one more time? Is it all subtle? I know that's a little bit of a problem. Well, you see, so often, we and the people we know and the people we love go through life with these defects and these disabilities that keep breaking down our lives, breaking up our relationships, breaking up the others in the lives around us. And yet, we just keep hanging on to all this old stuff that keeps breaking us down and burdening our lives. Then this remarkable event occurs. We call it New Year. Well, New Year is just an arbitrary turn of the calendar. But we see New Year as a chance to be made new. And the vehicle we use for that, we call a New Year's resolution. Any of y'all familiar with that concept? Well, it turns out that we want to use this New Year's resolution to be made new, to get rid of the old and be a new person. Well, the statistics show, and I'll bet if I did a survey here, it would be the same, that no more than 8% of people who make New Year's resolutions, which is not everybody, actually keep at least one resolution for more than 6 months. And so what happens is we make this New Year's resolution to be a new you, and the new year wanders on, and the new year you ends up looking like the old year you. You familiar with that concept? But that's not going to happen this year. Not here. Because what's going to happen here is Jesus is going to help us. He's going to use this body of Christ here for an extreme makeover. Or for those of you who don't think your need extreme, a made-to-order makeover. Now, I Googled this TV show from which I have borrowed the title. I've never seen this show, to be honest with you. I just took the title because I liked it. So I found out that this show focuses a lot, by the way, this is in past tense, focuses a lot on body fat and body fitness. And it was roundly criticized, and rightly so, that this show tended to emphasize physical appearance as a basis for our self-worth. Well, Jesus' focus for us is not about depending on our appearance, but about depending on Him to heal and transform, to make over and make new whatever there is about us that is not the rich, abundant life of love and peace and joy that He wants for us. It turns out you're the co-creators of this series because you have given me on these pink cards what it is in your life that you want to see different, that you want Jesus to make new and heal and transform. How many of y'all saw the sign I put out there on that table? Raise your hand if you saw this sign. How many of you stopped and did what I asked you to do? This is not going well in the new year. See, last week it turned out that some of you were going to end the old year on a down note and you weren't here. Today you are. And so before you leave today, you be sure you fill out one of those pink cards, because if you want to be made new, that's the way it's going to happen. So here's what Jesus wants to do about this. Jesus wants to lay out for us the basis that we need in order for our resolution for a new year to actually be fulfilled. Today we're not going to talk about specifics. We're going to talk about the basis for becoming a new you. And unless you buy into this basic, these basics, then your chance of being made new this year are about the same as that bowl of popcorn that Sally and I had sitting in our den when our 9 grandchildren walked in and said, "Hey, popcorn!" Our son-in-law Mike said, "Now I know what it looks like when the piranha get a hold of something." It was gone in 30 seconds. So what Jesus affirms for us is that these are the basics, and he lays this out in the 5th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. You see, Jesus had just begun his ministry, and he begins his ministry by cleansing a leper by touching him. And he heals a paralytic by declaring to him, "Your sins are forgiven, brother, stand up and walk." And because he is doing this, the Pharisees and the leaders and the teachers of the Jewish law are outraged by this. Jesus touched this unclean leper, and he forgave the sins of this man he didn't even know. But man, their outrage is nothing compared to what happens next. Because what happens next is Jesus goes into the town and he calls this man named Levi, that we now know as Matthew, and calls him to be a disciple. Now, Levi is the most hated man in the whole town because Levi is a tax collector. This means that he's working for the hated Romans, and this means that he's overcharging the taxes and keeping the balance for himself, padding his own pocket at the expense of his neighbors. Yet in the presence of Jesus, Levi's life is made new. The gospel says he left everything and he followed Jesus. And he's so excited about what has happened in his life. He invites all of his, the gospel says, his sinful friends to come to a party at his house to see Jesus and have the chance to be made new. Well, some Pharisees, no doubt uninvited, show up. They're not happy about this. But Jesus turns those Pharisees and those leaders and teachers into all those gathered in Levi's house, and he reveals what it takes for us to be made new. And he offers that promise and that possibility to us this morning. Here's how it went. After this, after all this healing of the leper and the paralytic, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi, Matthew, sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Well, Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house. And a large crowd of tax collectors and sinners were eating with Jesus and his disciples. And the Pharisees and the teachers of the law complained to his disciples, "Why do you and you drink and eat with the tax collectors and the sinners?" Well, Jesus butts in place of the disciples and answers them. "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have come to call sinners to repentance." And the Message version says it this way: "I'm here to give an invitation to a changed life, changed inside and outside." He told them this parable: "No one tears a piece out of a new garment to patch an old one. Otherwise, they will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new one will pull away, making the tear worse. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins. The wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins, and both will be preserved. But no one, after drinking the old wine, wants the new, for they say the old is better." All of us have something in our lives that needs to be healed and transformed and made new and made over. And so far, you have listed some, and I want to lift up the ones that have shown up over and over again in your cards, plus two others I'll mention later. Worry and stress. Togetherness for your family. A family member who is struggling with bad decisions. The ways that we treat and speak to each other. Health. Healthy choices. Financial difficulties. For some of these, we have no control. For most of these, we can influence, maybe not the condition itself, but how we respond. But for all of these, and for all the others you have listed, there is a cure. Is the cure that Jesus lifts up to us this morning, and you can remember it easily because they each begin with C. The first C reveals the problem: clinging to our old ways. Most of us are living a life with others, that is not the life that Jesus offers us. The life filled with love, joy, and peace. Treating each other with compassion and forgiveness. Seeing our body as the temple of the Holy Spirit and financial stewards of all that God has given us. You see, this less than what it is that Jesus wants is the old wineskin, a life filled with his old wine. Our ways of living that have become, without us realizing it, an unhealthy habit. You see, Jesus wants to fill us with new wine, but there's no room in there. And Jesus reveals that our old wineskin lives cannot receive his new life. And what he says is, you and I, what we say is, the old is better. You see, so often we find ourselves in the condition of the prisoner in that movie, The Shawshank Redemption. How many people have seen that movie? How many people think that movie is one of the best movies you have ever seen? Tells you something about our desire for vengeance, doesn't it? Sorry to throw that in. So this is a movie, the story about a banker named Andy, and he is wrongfully convicted of murdering his wife. And while he's there, he develops a friendship with a man named Red. And one of their fellow prisoners is released from prison after many years. But when his prisoner gets out, released from prison, he can't cope with the outside world, so he commits suicide. And so Red turns to Andy and says, Andy, how could our friend do such a thing after being released from prison? And Andy looks around at those dirty, dingy, gray stone walls and responds, well, at first, we hate these walls. Then, we get used to them. And then, we decide that we can't live without them. You see, we can become so used to our old ways, the ways that lead to our struggles, those old ways of trusting ourselves and our ways that are not the ways of Jesus, living in these old ways of pride, self-centeredness, and lack of compassion, failure to forgive, stubbornness, laziness, failure to live up to our promises, failure to be honest with each other and with ourselves, unwillingness to be patient, unwillingness to persevere in the tough times when our spouse is going through a tough time, refusing to do what it takes to be made new. You're sitting there, some of you, your body language, I can tell, oh, no, that's not me. I'm my old life. I've done my old life. I've been changed and made new. Well, do this test. If you're justifying some old way that is not the way of Jesus, if you're getting defensive when somebody confronts you with your old way, if you hide or deny that there is something in your life that is not like Jesus, if you refuse to do what it takes to be made different, then you're making a decision that old life you're living is better than the life that Jesus offers you. And our old wineskin lives will never be changed. But there is a prescription for our getting rid of the old wine problems in our lives. And that is Jesus' second C, which is to choose to cast away the old and open our lives to receive the new. You see, there is only one way, my friends, that we can be made new. And that is to choose, to desire, to want, to change. I can preach to you all day. I won't do that. Sometimes it feels like it. But it will not change you. You can go to AA meetings, and it will not change you. You can read all the self-help books, and you will not be changed until you want to be changed. What Jesus challenges us with is this. He says, there's no in-between. You're either going to wear the old garment with all the tears and holes in it, or the new one that I give you. You're either going to hold on to your old wineskin life or that old wine that you think is better, or you're going to let me pour in new wine into a new wineskin of your life. So how does that happen? Well, my experience is, and what Jesus says, is the only way to make that choice is to understand and affirm the danger and the consequences of holding on to the old. Until we see what this is doing to us and to someone in our lives, we will not choose to change. So often we are like this eagle who swooped down on the lake. This is a true story. I wish William were here. William were here, he would appreciate this story. Where is William this morning? When I really need him. His parents are here, but no William. So just tell William about this, will you? So this angel, this eagle swoops down. He grabs this fish that's 2 feet long, weighs 10 pounds. Boy, would William, by the way, for you visitors, William Hammond is a fishing addict. And this would suit him to a T. So he grabs this fish with his talons. He starts to rise up, but it's too heavy. He starts going down and down and down. And a few days later, the wildlife people find this eagle and this fish dead. Talons still attached. You see, the fish was too heavy. It was a burden for this eagle. But it looked so good to him that he just hung on to it. Even when he saw he was going down, he hung on to this burden. I can handle it, I'm sure, he said. Can't bring me down. See, what Jesus reveals to us today is that if we hang on to these old ways in our lives that are not His lives, it will bring us down. It will destroy our relationships. Eventually, it will destroy our futures and the plans that God has for us. Our friends, we must choose. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be made new? For this old way to be thrown out of your life and a new way to come in? Well, I know about how this works. I don't know what it is for you that you're hanging on to that's dragging you down this morning. But I had a lot of these in my life that were dragging me down. Still have some others. But I want to share with you the one that dragged me down in a terrible way that I've shared with you before, and that was my desire to control everybody and everything and the outcome the way I wanted it throughout my whole life. See, I thought I knew better than anybody else. Shocking to you, I'm sure. And so I was burdened by this control that I wanted to exert in the lives of the people around me and the circumstances around me. I wanted it my way. Oh yeah, I patched up this hole in my garment with reading the gospel and even preaching to you. I poured in some little wine from Jesus into my old wineskin, but I never gave up my desire to control. And what that did to me is it brought me down. It affected my relationships with my wife, with my children, with my law firm, and with this church. You have suffered from the fact that I wanted to control you, for you to be like I wanted you to be. So I didn't give up that old way, at least not then, because I did not see the consequences. If you did it my way, what could be better? Well, I was able to give it up because I was given the path and the power to receive the new and throw out that old stuff. You know what that is, that path and that power. You answered on your pink cards. The path and the power to be made new is to commit God's Word in the Bible, to Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life. 80% of you so far on your pink cards have put these two things in various words. I want to spend more time with the Bible, you say. And I want to grow closer in my relationship with Jesus. See, the Bible is God's Word. It is a path to the new life that Jesus offers. Jesus said to the Pharisees, I'm here to give you an invitation to a life change from the outside. The Bible can change the life we live, the life that we affect the other people around us. The Bible tells us what garment to put on and what one to take off. The Bible tells us the recipe for the new wine and the pattern for a new wineskin for our lives. The Bible inspires us what can happen when we give up the old and bring in the new. Jesus says in the Gospel of John, if you will learn my words and live my words, I will give you life abundant, a life filled with love and joy and peace that the world cannot take away, no matter what faces you in your life. And I want you to remember this if you don't remember anything else. The Bible is most able to help us give up the old and bring in the new into our lives if we read it and share it with others. I'm not talking about reading a little devotional in your home. That's great. I'm not talking about reading a devotional with your family. You see, there's so much baggage when you're doing it with your family or by yourself. The only way that you really can be changed by the Word of God in the Bible is by coming together with other Christians. Because you're going to see yourself in that Bible in a different way than when you're sitting in your home singing to yourself. I learned this because I was finally able to cast away my burden of control from one of our elders in a very kind and compassionate way. Came to see me. And together, we opened the Bible. And she opened the path to a new life for me, at least in that way, by sharing this with me. Fred, read what it says here. Jesus says, if you want to follow me, Fred, you want to follow Jesus? Oh yeah, I'm the pastor here, and I'm supposed to be doing that, right? It says, if you want to follow me, then you must be a servant of all. Not lording it over others like the rulers of this world. You must be a servant of all. Empowering the lives given to you by serving them, not ruling them. My life was changed because a Christian sister came to me and opened the Bible, God's Word, to me in a way that I never saw for myself. And pretty much, I've given up the desire to control. Now, every now and then, I've got to say, wait a minute, that's not the way. But most of the time, I've learned to be a servant. In fact, our session now talks about being servant leaders. So what I hope will happen for you is that you will commit for your life to be changed from the old stuff in your life to new on the outside, by coming together with your fellow Christian sisters and brothers, sharing the Word of God together. Yet, we will never be made new to receive all that Jesus wants for us until we are changed from the inside. And that happens when we commit to Jesus to be the Lord of our lives. Not just a helper we call on from time to time when it suits us. Hey, Jesus, I got a problem. Will you help me out? That's not about Jesus being the Lord of our lives, my friends. But the one we trust with every moment, every decision, every circumstance of our lives to be our Lord. Good news for many of you, it turns out for my family as well, is that we're able to do this, we're moved to do this, when the times are the toughest. It's what happened for a friend of mine. Their life was filled with disappointment, unmet expectations, failure. Like a lot of people, my friend decided to medicate their life with crack and quote-unquote painkillers. They patched the garment of their lives, yes, with reading devotionals and listening to Christian radio while they were taking crack, taking the painkillers. They clung to the old blame they put on others and the regret that they put on themselves. They ignored the obvious consequences that were happening all around. They justified their addiction. I can handle it. That's what they said to me. I can handle this. This is not getting me down. I'm entitled to it. All this pain in my life, I'm entitled to have this pain go away. Until that night, they found themselves in a cell. And they saw, up close and personal, where their life could end up unless they let go of the old and let Jesus take over their lives. A friend shared with me that she shared this prayer. I mean, it's just a basic prayer. Dear Jesus, I surrender to you I want to give you my pain and my blame. I'm yours. Make me a new person, Jesus. I'm in your hands." My friend prays this prayer every day. They've come to trust Jesus. Jesus led them to NA and to a Christian sponsor. Jesus led them to a church where they were not judged, but are loved for who they are, a precious child of God. Now, our friend's life has not been perfect. They've still been faced with disappointments and failures and a disease. They have been tempted to put back on the old garment, pick up that old wine and wineskin. But instead, they continue to experience the peace and the joy and the love that only Jesus can give them. They have been changed from the inside. But letting Him take away the old, letting Him in, surrendering to Him. Sally's not here this morning. If she were, I probably wouldn't share this. I would ask you to keep this to yourself. Sally has never really had to fight for much. She is a gifted person. People come to her. Just whatever she wants, they just come to her and say, "Here, please do this or take this." Until 2 months ago, on October the 28th, when she heard those two words, ovarian cancer. Well, Sally at first was in denial. Then she got all these well-wishing cards saying, "Trust in Jesus." She was not trusting in Jesus. She'd like to trust in herself. Sounds familiar. Maybe it runs in the family. But over time, certain things happened. And Sally a few weeks ago said to me, "Fred, Jesus is now the Lord of my life. He never has been before. He's been my teacher. He's been my guide. Maybe he's been my friend, but he's never been my Lord. Today, he is." Sally now has this peace in her, my friends, that she did not have before. Because she has surrendered her life to Jesus. And he is changing her from the inside. You see, this is what Jesus offers when he invites us in the Gospel of Matthew, "Come to me, all of you who are burdened, heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and I will give you peace for your soul." Every one of us needs to be made new. Something in us that needs to be made over. Yes, we face worry and stress, togetherness for our families, a family member who is struggling from bad decisions, the ways we treat and speak to each other, health and healthy choices, financial difficulties, and other challenges that you have not shared yet with me today. We'll talk about each of those in the days ahead. But today, Jesus gives us an invitation and makes us a promise. He wants to take away from your life all that old stuff that is burning you down. Put his clothes on us and fill us with his new wine. And he will change us from the outside with his word and change us from the inside. We may make him the Lord of our lives. Today, we come to this table. We're going to take a moment to pray before we come to this table this morning, because I want you to pray about and ask God to lay on your heart what it is, some old thing that needs to be left here and crucified on the cross. But I want you to consider one other thing. In the early church, when a new believer came to the church, they were baptized. They took off all their old clothes and put on new clothes. They were a new person in Christ. And they came to the table and laid down their sins at the cross. And then they stepped to the side and they were anointed with oil. The cross of Jesus. And the pastor or the elder said to them, "You have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. He will heal you and make you new." So this morning, as we come to this table,
I invite you to take the bread and the cup, lay the burdens down here at the table. And Christy and I will be at the other end, and if you choose, this morning you can recommit your life to Jesus Christ to change you, not just on the outside, but inside. Fulfill His promise to give you the peace that the world cannot take away. So before we come to the table, I just want us to take a moment now for you to pray. And ask God to lay on your heart, what do you want to leave here at the table? And what is the day of the day that you want to recommit your life to Jesus? Lord, you have heard the prayers lifted up in silence this morning. And I hope and I pray that you have laid on the heart of each of us here something in our lives that needs to be laid down at the foot of this cross, cast away. And I pray that where you think it will help this morning to move men and women and young people here to recommit their life to Jesus Christ. Receive His promise to be healed and made new. Lord, we thank you for the love you give us, the grace you pour on our lives, and the offer you make this morning to heal us, transform us, and make us new. In Jesus' name. Friends, Jesus died. He died so that we can do exactly what we get ready to do this morning. To lay our burdens down. So He can give us peace for our souls. He died so that then He would be raised from the dead and see that He has power over all the things in your life. And to offer to be the Lord of your life. To heal you and make you new. So now we remember how it began. On the night before He was crucified, Jesus took bread, and after He had blessed it, He broke it, gave it to His disciples, saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The same way He took the cup, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant, sealed by my blood, shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you do this, remember me, and remember whatever sins are in your life, they are forgiven. Lay them down here. Come, my friends, to the table." Thank you. we call New Year. But the day has not been arbitrary. Each of your precious children has come to this table this morning, has laid down some burden, crucified on the cross of Jesus, forgiven, ready to start anew. Many of your precious children have recommitted their lives to you, Lord, surrendering to Jesus, to be healed and made new. Amen. Let it be so. Amen.
Please stand.
The fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you this day and every day. Amen.
Amen.